Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know over the next 100 days, from innovation to business design, tech and culture. I'm Fuzz Liso, and today we're joined by three brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Hello, everyone. So hello and welcome to Sarah Van Mosel, who has been shaping the business of podcasting before there was even anything to shape. From brand-funded breakthroughs to billion-dollar networks, she's turned creative chaos into structured, scalable media models that actually make money. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
And then a welcome to Delica Bias. From launching JLo's beauty line to steering 15 brands through a supply chain meltdown, Leka makes growth happen. She's the operations whisperer behind some of the world's biggest beauty brands, turning chaos into scale with the kind of precision that makes investors sleep easy.
Thank you.
And then hello and welcome to Roop Bhaduri. Roop doesn't just AI. He's built it, scaled it, and now teaches leaders how to wield it wisely. With experience from scrappy startup to a $5 billion transformation, he's the go-to when you need to move fast and think long-term. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Business of Fashion claims that it could be time for the cosmetics industry to move beyond the clean girl aesthetic that has been the dominant for, I think, the last decade. In the same week, the H&M Foundation published a report challenging the industry to move faster on sustainability. There are lots of potential new futures in the fashion industry at large. What really are the radical new products to market? What is important to have in mind? And what is the best advice for change makers in the fashion and beauty industry right now? Leka, I think this one is for you.
It's mine. You know, I feel like beauty, I was like, I've grown up in it. I feel like it's such a saturated space, and we are at a cusp of, you know, all these celebrities like Selena Gomez, now we have Hailey Bieber and all these people, they want to launch their beauty companies. But I think one key piece that, you know, the whole clean girl aesthetic, I think that's going away. And I think not people, they just want to be authentic to who they are. Like whether it's clean beauty, whether it's AI driven wellness, or whether it's Kim Kardashian glam makeup era, I feel like everybody wants to have their own kind of like, this is my identity and this is what I resonate with. So to be honest, I think going forward, it's going to be all about storytelling and that emotional connection, because the audience is becoming so educated with all the technology that's out there. They want to, I'll go back to their short forms. They like connecting with people on TikTok. Okay. Like I always joke about, I'm like, God, I wish I spent the last 10 years dancing on TikTok. I would be in a different place today versus working in M&A, right? It's like a whole different thing that we're not even thinking about, but I think the audience, they connect with that stuff. And I think for them, it's about how honest you are. Like I'll take an example of David Beckham and the Beckhams together. David Beckham has tried to build his skincare brand or like personal care brand for a long time. Victoria, on the other hand, has a pretty successful beauty company and a fashion line at the same time. These people were the content creators before content creation was even anything to even talk about. So when we think about the authenticity, they have been all the ups and downs. They have been shamed publicly. Their kids have had obviously chaos in the media. But one thing that they remained was they were very authentic and they showed up every single time. So consistency and authenticity and just storytelling from an honest lens, I think is what actually is going to last from a beauty and consumer standpoint, because consumer just wants to connect emotionally with something that's long-term.
You probably wouldn't clock me as a person who follows beauty online, but I, again, when a beauty brand connects with storytelling and builds its community in a way that like nails it, I celebrate inside. My heart goes like pitter patter. There's this one brand and it's a UK brand. It's a perfume brand. It's called Fern, F-F-E-R-N. They do 4 drops a year, seasonal ingredients, artisanally created. And it's like an event. Every time it comes to my house, and this isn't a plug for them, by the way, but it's just an example of how well they nail the experience. I don't even care if I like the scent. I'm so excited about the fact that it shows up. It's got a QR code with a little short film that is themed on the ingredients, these seasonal ingredients. It's all about Somerset. And you can imagine for an American, it's quite, you know, aspirational in terms of the English countryside. But like all of it. And not only do you get your perfume, but you give a sample that you can give to a friend. And you also have a little sort of clay disc that you could spray the sample on and sort of make your home. It is so engaging, exciting. I go on a journey. I feel, and even if I'm like meh about the perfume, I'm not going to cancel because what could the next one be? It's so exciting, right? So when a brand nails it, like beauty is all about imagination and emotion, right? So that when they nail it, they're using all kinds of media to do it, right? They could have a podcast. They're using all sorts of things, physical things. It's just exciting. And I think that there's so much potential where all of those lines blur. Yes, you're going to want to vote with your dollars, but to buy the thing because you love it. It doesn't matter if the thing is a beauty product or a food or a ticket to a show. If it's making you feel that way, they've achieved, right, the result.
Interesting, right? Yeah. You know how they say, like, a brand is not what you say it is. A brand is what your customers decide it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with beauty, I think, you know, I have a 14-year-old daughter, she'll be 15 soon. And it's one of those things, right? I mean, you want authenticity to Lekha's point. Mm-hmm. But you also want young people to be explained. And I think it's, again, the responsibility of the brands to be explained that beauty does not equal feeding narcissism. So you want to be able to feel beautiful, and that is not necessarily the color of your skin. That's not necessarily the color of the lip gloss. That's not necessarily, you know, whatever accoutrements.
Right, comes from inside.
You're correct. Mm-hmm. And so it's an expression of your individuality by all means. It's an expression of what makes you enhance what you already feel. But let's not make it about... and as a father, I can see that even with men. I mean, it's probably a little bit more gendered in favor of women, but the same points apply because men are equally susceptible. So that, I think, beauty brands, I'm going to follow what you're doing, Lekha, after this conversation. And of course, you, Sarah, but I think that's the only bit that I wanted to add, you know, authenticity,
but
also moving away from that, you know, slightly more narcissistic tone that often we see, you know, and we've seen a lot of young people, I see it, you know, out and about, and you feel protective as a father, right? You feel,
for sure.
And I think that narrative can be improved, if not changed.
For sure. I think Dove does a fantastic job of emotional marketing, and so does P&G. And that's why I always say, I'm like, when I look at these companies, I'm a big proponent of like, kids don't need to do any of this stuff, right? Like, it's just, you're damaging your skin kind of early on. Like, these are chemicals end of the day, but at the same time,
it's
just, well, there's reasons for that. But I think it's like the kids that are consuming YouTube content, right? Whether it's like guarded by parents or whatever, they're still like, you have these people that don't deserve to be on a platform. Like, they don't have the social responsibility that comes with that. And I feel like brands have to do a good job at gatekeeping that. And I feel like Meta, YouTube, like all these channels, like that gatekeeping is gone in the last 2 years, and I feel like we do
need to do better.
That back.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is a big negative impact for the younger generation. I feel like everybody needs to be responsible.
Part of the issue is, and this is coming from the digital advertising world, is unfortunately the custodians of the world's content, responsible and less responsible together, sits with ad companies.
Google's
an ad company. Yeah, no, but also Google's just an ad company. 92% of Google's revenue, or 90% or whatever that is, it's very high, is still largely advertising. So when you have an ad company driven by, you know, ad revenues and eyeballs and attention, you know, and Meta's got its own history of being notoriously, you know, we'll make the mistakes and maybe we'll say it's, we'll apologize later. Google has a much better record there, but you know, so when you have ad companies holding everyone's content, it's challenging. I struggle with that.
I agree. Yeah. I don't have an answer for that, but I'm like, brands can do a little bit. And I think podcast owners, you guys can do a little bit better, but I just don't know how it will change that.
And also, there's no reason for a 10-year-old to be showing their skincare regime, I think. It's just
no. It's a waste of money.